America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Numbers! Those darn numbers. Sometimes you can use them to make something look good that isn't. And sometimes you can't. Case in point, President Obama's approval rating. It has now dropped to 38%. That's overall. When it comes to foreign policy, his numbers are lower even among Democrats. The problem with these numbers is you can't fudge them, like unemployment, Obamacare, etc. But the real number you need to know is AM 660, The Answer, where you'll find the number one show on political professional wrestling, The American Adversaries at Drive Time. I'm Lair Adams. Ladies, my number is... Oh, no, I can't do that. But you can call our show and speak to our host, who never does it by the numbers, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you so very much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again for being with us during Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. That's right. We are the American Adversaries coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't you forget, folks, for the best in general dentistry, especially Mercury Free dentistry, give my friend Dr. James E. Hardy a call at 407-678-3399. Yeah, it is getting awful just about bleak for Obama's numbers.
What's that? But I was going to say, in your Mercury there, Chris, remember the old song, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair? We got to change that to, you got to get that mercury out of your mouth. You got to get that mercury out of your mouth, because it's very important. This is a health thing, folks. Better than anything you'll find in Obamacare is get that stuff out of your mouth.
It's poison. You do not need poison in your head. All right, we get enough of that poison out of Washington, D.C., but there may have been...
They can keep their mercury.
There you go. There may have been some good stuff come out of Washington, D.C. for a change. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. Later on in the show, here in the next segment, we're going to get live from the Hive. Our man Killer B. Brian Blair is going to join us from Tampa, and we're going to talk about the special congressional election that's going on over there, which is going to start getting more and more national attention. Alex Sink, the lady who did run for governor here in Florida, is running against David Jolly, and David Jolly's got his hands full. He's to replace the Congressman Young, who's a Republican, who died over there. But that area is got a lot of liberals over there, and Alex Sink has a lot of name recognition, and B. Brian Blair knows her personally. So we'll get the inside scoop with him. Later on in the show, Nostradamus is going to join us. We'll talk a little bit about what happened in Texas night before last. We got the full wrap-up on that, and don't believe what you're hearing in the mainstream media. The Tea Party actually did very good, and we'll talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about the other day when we had Dr. Kirk Elliott on the show. Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about currency, and at one point in the conversation, I mentioned the fact that we had discovered that there are a number of currency traders that work for big banks like J.P. Morgan who have been, quote-unquote, committing suicide. Well, it's happened again. You folks, are you familiar out there with Bitcoin? Now, I know we talked about Bitcoin on the show a long time ago, but it's been getting a lot of media attention lately. It's a quote-unquote virtual currency.
Yeah.
And it's been getting a lot of play because it went extraordinarily up in value. A couple years ago, you could have got a Bitcoin for a buck or two, and at one point they were trading for $1,000.
Now it was going to replace the dollar.
Well, it not necessarily replace
eventually.
The dollar, but do things that were difficult to do in the computer world with old cash currency. Well, a big Bitcoin person has now turned up dead. And so we'll be talking about that sort of thing a little bit later on with Nostra Dennis. He's going to tell us about the bankers, how many and who they are and where they, quote-unquote, committed suicide. One, I understand, committed suicide with a nail gun, which, by judging by their success, in other words, it took 8 nails out of this nail gun to do the job. It wasn't a very, let's just say, efficient way to go about it.
A suicide by putting 8 nails in your head.
No, it was chest, neck, and head.
Oh! Oh, make it even more painful.
I tell you, that's what you can call determination. All right. Determinated to get terminated.
Isn't that like falling on several bullets?
whatever. But before we get into all that stuff, I want to talk a little bit about the CPAC conference, which is going on in Washington, D.C.
That's Michael Medved's actually broadcasting from there.
Conservative Political Action Committee thing, and it's a big deal. It's one of the biggest deals for Republicans to get together every year.
Conservative.
Yeah, 2012 they did the CPAC convention here in Florida. And if you remember, the presidential race was just heating up and everything, and I believe there was a debate there. I think even when, if I'm not mistaken, that might have been where they had the straw poll and Herman Cain won the straw poll and kind of launched him until he crashed. Anyway, to get to what's going on now in Washington, D.C., today, representation of the candidates who will be running for the Republican nomination to run against whoever the Democrat nominee is in 2012 were represented today. Speaking today were Chris Christie, Ted Cruz, Bobby Jindal, Marco Rubio, and Paul Ryan, amongst others. But they were the big names who spoke today. Jeb Bush is not going to be at the CPAC conference, so he will not speak. But these fellas did. And they did a pretty decent job of what I call around here, we take this reference from professional wrestling, working the crowd. And what I mean by working the crowd, what they mean by working the crowd in professional wrestling is just that. If you ever watch professional wrestling, when you see a wrestler get into the ring and he takes the microphone and he starts talking to the audience, or he even starts
whether
talking
to the good or the bad guy.
He may even be talking to another wrestler who is either in the ring with him or who is off stage, so to speak. And what they're trying to do is elicit a response from the crowd, be it boos.
Get you fired up.
The boos are just as good, maybe even better than the cheers.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes the boos are more passionate. And they call that working the crowd. And the guys who can get out there and work the crowd real good, well, they normally become very successful in the business if they can do the mat work as well. But a guy who can work on the mat but can't work the crowd is very limited. And that's kind of...
He usually ends up with a mask and keeping his mouth shut.
And having what's called a manager. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, a manager. And sometimes both the manager and the wrestler can work the crowd good. Like when The Undertaker had Paul Bearer as his manager. They both could work the crowd exceptionally well. Paul has died. He's been nominated to go into the WWE Hall of Fame, by the way. But The Undertaker still...
He got his start here in Florida.
He sure did. The Undertaker still knows how to work the crowd. What I saw today, and Medved commented on this, he called it connecting with the audience. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember that phrase?
Yes.
He saw some connecting with the audience. That was working the crowd.
Yeah.
All right. And the Republicans need to know how to work the crowd. For instance, Medved talked about how Paul Ryan doesn't connect with an audience very well. And he doesn't. And neither, quite frankly, does Bobby Jindal. And I'll say this, only on rare occasions does Marco Rubio. They just don't work the crowd very well.
Romney was not good at all.
Lousy at it. And yet still could get some pretty good responses. If only he could work the crowd, he'd have blown Obama away. That's another story. Chris Christie knows how to work a crowd. Ted Cruz knows how to work a crowd. And they, not just because they were able to work the crowd, but because of what they were saying to work the crowd with, work the crowd up with, if you will, today, was a lot of good stuff. And they got the appropriate response. Ted Cruz, by far, was the most invigorating of the crowd, shall we say. But Chris Christie didn't do bad either. And Bobby Jindal is a little bit better. But I tell you, Marco Rubio would do a whole lot better. Do you remember the first time we saw, when we very first started this show, we went to a Tea Party rally?
Yes, we saw him live.
It was on tax day, that's right.
50 feet from him.
That's right. And matter of fact, I gave him a pair of our shoelaces.
Shoestring
budget, and we can't even afford that now. But I gave him a pair of shoelaces for him. I gave him a pair of shoelaces for Obama that said American Adversaries on them. I said, give these to the president and tell him he needs to run the country on a shoestring budget. He just laughed. He said, I don't even know if they'll let me in the White House, Marco Rubio said. That day, he was very effective speaking in front of that live audience. But there was something about his appearance that is oftentimes different than the way we see him now. He was not wearing a jacket that day. It was April 15th, or right about, it was. Remember, it was a Tea Party tax rally.
Yeah.
All right. And he had taken his jacket off because it was hot that day.
Yeah.
It was very hot that day.
His sleeves rolled up a bit.
Exactly. And his hair wasn't quite perfect.
Coiffed.
And he was passionate. That's what he needs to do. He needs to take off the jacket, roll up the sleeves, muss up his hair just a little bit, and pound the podium and be passionate. If he could do that and really come across with the strong conservative principles that I know he has, because he has such a great personal story, he would be a very powerful candidate.
I think his problem is, Chris, I think the base has gotten to him. He was better at the beginning. And I think that little flaw with the water bottle and his little speech,
because
some of these others, I think he's let the base get to him and say, hey, this is how you need to do things, Marco.
He was letting other people tell him. He needs to tell the other people, get out of my way. Let me be Marco Rubio. Okay, it was the other people telling him to wear the suit, to say this, to do the immigration thing. Marco Rubio needs to just cut it loose if he wants to be president. And this pretty much goes to all the candidates, too. Just to throw off the jacket, loosen the tie, muss up your hair a little bit, and get out there and pound that podium with strong conservative principles and lecture the Democrats. Just like Bobby Jindal did today. He lectured the president.
Well, one of the things I think that Republicans need to be careful of, and everybody out there needs to be careful of, is I think the whole country's looking for a new messiah, a new counter to Barack Obama. And I don't think it's going to be just a man. It's going to actually take a man and a group of philosophies with this man. Rather than just rely strictly on one personality.
Well, it's still going to take one strong personality to become the president of the United States, and that's what these guys are all angling for. However, what I believe, and I think you're on the right track, that what people want, they don't want a strong, they want solutions.
Exactly, rather than personality.
But the personality that can make people believe they have the solutions, they are going to be the one to have the next ticket into the White House. Whichever party does that, they will be the ones to take the ticket to the White House, because people are sick and tired of problems. They want solutions, real solutions, not promises, not pie-in-the-sky stuff. They want honest-to-God real solutions, and the person that comes along and can make them believe that they have them, that's the ticket. And the way, for instance, for Marco Rubio to do that is to chuck off the jacket, muss up the hair, and get in the face of anybody that get in front of you. All right, folks, talking about getting in front of you, we still got good three-quarters of the show to go, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. We are the American Adversaries. It is drive time. And you just heard the commercial for Aubrey Kahn, Affirm Foundation Home Inspections. And, folks, this is a great way if you're a homeowner to save yourself some money. You may be paying, you're most likely paying too much in home insurance. You can probably get that premium brought down by getting a special inspection, a wind mitigation inspection by Affirm Foundation Home Inspections, and a certificate that you can present to your insurance company. And if you're moving or buying a house, of course you want to get a home inspection. This is the guy that you want to have it done for you. Give him a call. His phone number is 321-624-0254. As I told you last night, he's provided us with a handful of $25 off your inspection, whether it be for buying or selling a home or whether it be a wind mitigation inspection. And he'd like us to give these to our audience. So the caveat is you got to work for it a little bit. So I'm going to make it easy for you. Now, you folks who've been listening to this show for a while, this ought to be just a no-brainer. Who was the person I said that I would kiss right on the lips on our very first show 3.5 years ago when we first started here on 660 on Sunday nights? Who was the person that I would say that I said that I would kiss right on the lips? And I've said it many a time since. The offer's still there if he wants to come to the studio. If you know who that is and you'd like one of these $25 gift cards, call us at 407-774-8255. If you have the correct answer, the gift card is yours.
Well, you gave part of it away, so I can say the grossest one would be Hillary Clinton.
No. Janet Reno.
No. Right now, just...
I'd go Hillary over Janet anytime.
All right, is she still alive? Janet Reno?
Oh, yeah. Last I heard, she travels around the country in like a little camper RV thing.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Rick, and then I want to go to our man who is hanging around, buzzing around live in the hive, and that's B. Brian Blair. But Rick, thank you for calling today.
Evening, guys. Hey, Larry, you're wrong about the bay getting on Marco about the water bottle and stuff. That was the establishment and the media that jumped on that. So he lost the base with his immigration stance.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, you know these little flubs that he had. He took a lot of heat from the comedians about the water bottle flub, and that weighs on people.
He was trying to tie all those things into that one general point.
Yeah, but Marco can come back from this if he just stick to what he's good at.
I agree.
And that is shucking off the jacket, rolling up the sleeves, and getting passionate about what's good about America, because he has got a fantastic story. He needs to let it loose a little bit, so to speak. All right, Rick, thanks for being with us tonight. We always appreciate you being out there.
All pretty much in agreement here. Marco Rubio so far is still vice presidential material.
Yeah, but even then, you know, it would go a long way. Well, let's go to a man who's been successful in politics and knows how the game works inside and out. And that would be our man who is coming to us live from the hive, Killer B, Brian Blair. Hey, Brian, how you doing tonight?
Oh, yes, sir. We are live in the hive, Chris. So, Chris Law and Nostradamus, what will AM radio do as the American adversaries become the liberals' number one menace?
We love it, too.
We will stand and cheer and toast that moment.
Speaking of standing and cheering, how's the leg there, guy?
Oh, the leg is okay. You know, I'll tell you what, the Roxy Pacific, that is some good stuff. It's helped me with the swelling. It's helped me with the rashy skin. I apologize. I had a little slip and fall last week. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of liberals that are probably cheering for it right now. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I got stitches, about 47 stitches up the middle of my knee. But, you know, I can't be a crybaby. You can't, I wish I could say I was wrestling and some 300-pound man jumped off the top rope and fell on my leg, but unfortunately it happened in my own house. And
yep.
That's the way it is. Stuff happens. You know, that's how, it's like I'm still wondering, you know, how Obama got elected president.
He got elected president because he can work the crowd real good. You know what I'm talking about when I say work the crowd. And go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and what I was saying is if these Republicans could learn how to do that a little bit better, they could really help themselves out.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think that there's a lot of buyer's remorse right now as Obama's numbers came out today and his approval rating's at 38%.
Yeah.
And that's the lowest it's ever been. People are calling you know, they're calling Jimmy Carter a great president all of a sudden.
Well, and his numbers when it comes to foreign policy are even worse, even amongst Democrats.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Bobby Jindal apologized to Jimmy Carter today for basically comparing Obama to him in a nutshell. Saying Obama was far worse than Jimmy Carter. But now we're watching in particular a campaign that's going on over there because it's going to start getting more and more national attention. I've already seen some of the national talk shows talking about it a little bit. And I'm talking about the congressional race to replace Congressman Young between Alex Sink and David Jolly. It seems that that's starting to get a little bit nasty. At least that's the impression I'm getting from what I see in the Orlando Sentinel over here.
You know, it really is. It's the race for District 13, and it's kind of setting the stage for the tone, is the way they're kind of stereotyping this race is setting the tone for the whole nation for the midterms.
Right.
So, you know, everybody's pouring their money into it. So far, you've got about 38,000 Republicans that have voted early and about 35,000 Democrats that have voted and about 16,500 eyes that have voted. So, you know, we're hoping for, you know, at least, you know, a 27% turnout, which would probably be, you know, right at 140,000 votes. So there's a lot of votes cast, and it's like, you know, they're just, people are going to have to start busing people to the polls. They're going to have to take that Democrat strategy and, you know, grab everybody that can't drive and bus them to the polls. People need to call their aunts, their uncles, you know, anybody that's registered in Pinellas County that has an R next to their name, an I next to their name, or a D next to their name, and tell them to vote for David Jolly.
Well, let me ask you this. Have they brought Obamacare into the mix? Have the Republicans been successful, you know, just kind of at least throwing her name or trying to attach her?
Well, absolutely.
Okay, Brian, hold your thought right there. We've got to take the hard break. When we come back, we'll rejoin you. Folks, we're talking right now with B. Brian Blair, and you can join us at 407-774-8255. And come on, now, I know you folks know who I said I would kiss, and you got to want one of these gift cards. Give us a call.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Yeah, Ted will be back with us tomorrow, folks. I'm Chris Hart. And first of all, the guys at SoundbiteRx.com just wanted me to thank you folks. There's a lot of people here in the Central Florida area that go to SoundbiteRx.com regularly, and they are getting a lot of attention. They're in 48 states. There are now a lot of people who go to SoundbiteRx.com, and all over Europe in particular, they get a lot of hits from Europe for SoundbiteRx.com. There's a lot of people out there who want more than just that soundbite. SoundbiteRx.com is the place to get it. Let me just give you a taste of what's going up today. They've got a story about Obama warning Israel time is running out. A great analysis about that. They've got an article talking about an impending mess that we're going to have to look forward to coming from the IRS. They're talking about, of course, they have articles in there about what's going on in Ukraine. They've got an article in there about Obama changing once again the deadline, trying to salvage something out of an election. They've got an article in there on Japan and their relationship with the United States and Russia and how what's going on in the Ukraine is affecting people in Japan. And they've got a list of reasons why Putin invaded the Ukraine. And by the way, they also have a fun article in there. A lot of times they put fun stuff in there. This one happens to be on Stonehenge. You're definitely going to want to check that one out. It's got a lot of interesting thoughts in it, if you will. Okay, folks, don't forget SoundbiteRx.com. That's the place to get the whole story. So go to SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Oh, and away we go. That's right. That's our man Hacksaw, and we got our man B. Brian Blair on
the
line.
Talk about guys that know how to work a crowd.
Yeah, you got that right. Both these guys do. And we got our executive producer Nostra Dennis on the line. He knows how to work a crowd. And we got Diane on the line as well. Diane, we'll get right to you, and you too, Nostra Dennis. But Brian, you were going to make a comment about Lair's question. Has Obamacare been a focal point of this campaign over there?
Absolutely. And in Alex Speaks commercials, she says that she wants to fix what's wrong and keep what's right with Obamacare. So she's owning up to it. And, you know, I'll be very honest with you. Alex Fink is a wonderfully nice person, but this is the choice that the people have. They've got a David Jolly or Alex Fink, and they're going to vote 95% plus with their party. So if you like the policy that we have right now, with Obamacare and more debt than our children will ever pay off? Or do you want the policy of the conservative party that means the strong foreign policy where we've been embarrassed lately, or and paying off our debts and changing our health care act that we have now? And that's basically the choice. So my vote is obviously for Jolly.
Well, let me ask you this, and I want an honest opinion. I understand you know Alex Sink personally. Do you think Jolly is doing an effective job of making the conservative argument over there?
Well, he's come back from a 16-point deficit, and that's with Overbay, who an independent that clearly says that he was talked into running for this race, for the congressional 13 race, District 13 race. And when asked which party, he didn't say. He said, I don't know.
So there's a third-party candidate that the Democrats or somebody got him in there, and he sort of changed the dynamic. Is that what's happened?
Well, that was the whole plan, right, from the beginning. But what I'm saying is Jolly has done such a great job. He's come back now. The last poll showed him down by 2 points, but that's clearly within the margin of error of 3.5.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. When exactly is Election Day? I know the absentee ballots have already been gone out and coming back. Do you know when's the actual day?
Yeah, actually over half the ballots have already been cast, probably, in all probability. But the actual Election Day is Tuesday, March 11th. So, you know, anybody that wants
it's next Tuesday.
In South America, anybody that's listening or knows anybody in Pinellas, please, I implore you to beg you to, call and tell somebody to get out and vote for David Jolly. Tell them to call 10 of their friends and go vote for David Jolly. It's that important to America.
Okay. All right. We've got a caller on the line. It's Diane. First of all, are you calling about our contest? And I see you also have a comment for B. Brian Blair.
I do not have a comment, but yes, I do, and I can't believe somebody didn't call in already.
Who was it that I said I would kiss?
The liar in chief.
Maybe that would shut him up if I'd plant one on his lips, you think?
That's kind of gross to think about.
I'd be willing to sacrifice, if it would only do some good. Congratulations. So you are absolutely right.
It'd be the second big interracial kiss in media.
All right. Your comment, please, for Bree Brian Blair.
I'm sorry. I do not have a comment.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you, Diane. And we've got your information, but if you want to go ahead and give it to Nick again, we'll definitely make sure you get that Firm Foundation home inspection card.
And I am working on getting Chansey elected.
Oh, yeah. Glenn Chansey, that election also, folks, is March 11th. That's Tuesday for the mayor of Apopka. And he's a good man. I have to say, I was very impressed with Glenn Chansey when he was on our show last week.
I liked him.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, me too. All right. Thanks a lot, Diane. We appreciate you being out there. Love you. All right, folks, once again, 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to join us as well. B. Brian, I want to bring Nostra Dennis in on this because I want to bring him in on the conversation, what's going on over there in Tampa, but also some big things happened out in Texas. Nostra Dennis, how are things over to headquarters tonight?
I'll tell you what. Like you guys, I've got a day job, and my day job was weird today. All our computers went down from about 12:30 to the end of the day, so I got a pile of stuff to finish tomorrow.
Huh. That's strange.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's strange. All the computers were down here yesterday.
I blame Edward Snowden, actually.
Yeah, I blame NSA.
First, before we get to Texas, what's your thoughts about that race over there in Pinellas County?
Well, Brian, tell me again, if you were a Tea Party member, who would you want to be going for in this race?
Without a doubt, David Jolly. Okay. I mean, they're calling Sink a carpetbagger because she's never lived in Pinellas. She just moved over there, which is not a good thing. And again, you know, Alex Sink's just going to be more of the same. Even though she's a wonderful lady, don't get me wrong, she's very, very nice, humble lady, was married to Bill McBride, you know, strong Democrat foundation. But, you know, my dad's a Democrat. I love him to death. But, you know, the policy's policy, and this world is going the wrong direction.
Absolutely.
Have her recent comments about immigration and immigrants hurt her in the past week?
I haven't heard a lot of comments on immigration, so that must not be polling real high. They're really pounding on Obamacare. You know, of course, Sink's, you know, big attack is just he's, honestly, she doesn't have, it's just a bunch of a mishmash that they've put together, and nothing really sticks. It's personal attack ads. There's not one thing that Alex Sink attacks him on policy.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're trying to formulate an argument that a liberal has, you'll be left speechless unless you just want to come out with the gobbledygook. And so evidently that's what's going on there as well. Yeah, there was a little bit of play in the media over here, Brian, where the media was trying to make David Jolly look bad because he had made a comment about some comments that Alex Sink had been making. And they were trying to evidently make, Dennis, is my impression, they were trying to make a controversy out of that?
Dennis. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
No, Dennis, go ahead. Thanks for immediate thought.
Basically, she accused Republicans of wanting more immigration just so that people can get their houses cleaned and their yards mowed.
Oh, she's the one that made that stupid statement.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was a really stupid statement.
Yeah. All right. Well, definitely we'll want to get an update from you next week, Brian, you know, after this election plays out on Tuesday. But it may, you know, we may have some, I don't know, Nostradamus, can we divine anything from what happened in Texas and apply that to Pinellas County? Now, first of all, Brian, Pinellas County is now pretty much Democrat majority, isn't it?
They voted for Obama the last two elections.
Okay. All right. Nostradamus, do you think there's anything we can divine from what happened in Texas? Because actually the Tea Party candidates, the conservatives, actually did pretty well in Texas.
Yeah, the headline that ABC News ran with was, GOP establishment safe in Texas primaries as Tea Party falters. But John Fund wrote a piece for National Review that I'm reading through right now that kind of digs a little deeper into it. And talks about how in a lot of the local races, a lot of the state legislature races, Tea Party candidates did very well in the primaries.
And the big name, one of the big name Tea Party candidates, a fellow by the name of Dan Patrick, who's a radio talk show host, by the way, he evidently won his primary contest against the lieutenant governor to run for a congressional seat.
Governor in a four-player race, the lieutenant governor got only 28% of the vote. He's going to the runoff, but Patrick ended up with 44% of the
vote.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Brian, it's my impression that, like, I've begun to refer to the Tea Party not so much as a movement as it is a mood that prevails a country nationwide, actually worldwide, but nationwide. Do you sort of get the same feeling and that this could turn out to be a very big year for conservatives?
Yes, I do, Chris. I truly feel the same way as you do. The Tea Party really wants to get, they just, their whole premise and the foundation is getting back to the Constitution and getting back to the cores and beliefs that America, that made America the most envious nation in the whole world. And, you know, I'm really proud of the Tea Party. And you know, there's a lot of Republicans that we referred to as rhinos, Republican in name only. And, you know, they may be adversarially against, you know, those type of people. Boehner's getting a lot of heat. There's a lot of heat sometimes, you know, in Washington with these these old Washington insiders that have an R next to their name, I mean, they're just as much at fault as anybody, and that's why the Tea Party evolved.
Yeah, definitely. Brian, I mean, let me go back to Dennis real quick. Now, in the major races, many of the incumbents did win, but it was at the local level, what you're saying, is where the Tea Party did so very well.
That's right. And, you know, even the big high-profile race, John Cornyn, beat back a challenge from Steve Stockman, who proclaimed himself a Tea Party candidate. Problem is, a week ago, a coalition of 12 senior Tea Party activists formally disavowed Stockman. This is the problem. When you say you're a Tea Party candidate, there's really no litmus test. There's no strong national binding set of Tea Party values that can really certify you as really a Tea Party candidate. You're a Tea Party candidate if you say you are.
Yeah, well, that's where Democrats have been throwing guys in there and putting the claim on that they're Tea Party.
Yeah,
in this case, that didn't happen, but in the case of Steve Stockman, he just wasn't up to the challenge. He was basically running a kamikaze campaign, and he got wiped out by Cornyn.
Right. I was watching MSNBC for a little while yesterday and was actually shocked that one of their analysts, I thought, made a pretty profound observation about what happened in Texas. Even though guys like John Cornyn won, the way they won was by moving to the right. In other words, if you will, hopefully for more than just the time being, but at least for the election, they are moving to be more conservative in their rhetoric and their approach. Do you sort of see the same thing happening over there in Pinellas County? I mean, is David Jolly coming out really strong in conservative principles? And you've already mentioned that Alex Sink is trying to distance herself in a way from the liberals who passed Obamacare.
Yeah, I think he's being a little cautious on that end. He's supporting the basic principles because, remember, he was an aide to C.W. Young, who passed away.
Right, that's the man they're trying to replace, yeah.
C.W. Young was, you know, he was a pretty much a moderate Republican. And so there's a lot of things that Sink's tried to, you know, attack him personally with as far as C.W. Young. But he has embraced the basic foundation of less taxes and smaller government. And I think he's doing a great job, and the polls simply tell the story. Down 16, now down 2. Got another week to go. Tuesday, March 11th, everybody's got to get out there. And as a matter of fact, I wanted to mention that, you know, Alex Sink, being a carpetbagger, so to speak, I hate to call the nice lady that, but that's what it's called. And recently, I don't know if you read, the Senate just Jack Lightfoller, who's from that area and who also endorsed David Jolly, who's a moderate Republican, just introduced SB 602, and that's from the elections and the Ethics Commission, which would pretty much stop all that stuff. They're going to check water bills, light bills, you know, all that stuff, so to keep people from getting an apartment somewhere and running somewhere where they don't actually live.
Right, right. That's a good idea. Hey, listen, we have a Rick on the line who'd like to make a comment. Rick, thank you for calling this afternoon.
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's a refreshing change, even though I don't agree with them at every issue. When you have a libertarian who, to me, are the true conservatives on, they want to get out of your bedroom and out of your pocketbook, both. I'm not saying I agree with them in everything, but, you know, demonizing gay people, I think, is disgusting.
Who are you complimenting?
Oh, you, for having the libertarian view on for a change instead of the Republicans, who really want more government when it comes to, you know,
okay,
personal behavior and things like that. I think these people deserve every right. I think Jan Brewer did the right thing, and I'm moderate on fiscal issues.
Okay.
You know that.
All right.
But I think the libertarians are a refreshing change. I want to see what your guest thinks of that.
Okay. Sure. All right. Fair enough. That's a question for you, Brian Blair. Libertarians, way to go.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll take compliment any time I get it.
but do you think that the Libertarian Party is time has come, I think, is kind of what he was asking.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, the Republicans have really moved away from bedroom issues, with the exception of abortion. You know, they're going to hang tight, which I believe, I don't believe in abortion. Personally, you know, if my son came home and said, you know, Dad, I got a girl pregnant, well, we're having that baby. as long as the woman's willing to. I mean, it can't change her mind. But anyway, abortion is something they've stood still on. But their attitudes towards homosexuality, the GLBT movement, has been very neutral. You'll never hear it come up in you know, the mainstream, possibly local elections, but never in the mainstream anymore. They're trying to be a party of the bigger tent.
Yeah. Okay, Brian. Thanks a lot. That's all the time we have for today. But we'll check in with we'll check in with you next week to see how this election turns out over there.
Super. All my best to Lauren. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Master Dennis. Thank you, everybody.
Take care of the leg, too.
All right, Brian. Take us into the break, will you?
All right, my friends. Bye.
All right. Okay. All right, folks. We'll be right back. And we're back, and we are live coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, folks, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams in the studio with you. We have Nostra Dennis over at headquarters. Nostra Dennis, you've got a libertarian who actually won in Texas yesterday?
Yes, I did. But first, can I correct Sonny in that bumper? I don't think I'm as much of a hunk as a slab.
Now, that's not what your wife says.
Anyway, yeah.
She tells us you're a hunk of burning love.
Yeah. It's funny that our caller mentioned libertarians, because one of the, you know, in Texas, at least 8 House incumbents lost their seats in this primary. Several more were forced into runoffs, but at least 8 will not be going back there, and 4 of those 8 who were defeated in primaries were defeated by Tea Party challengers. In the state Senate, moderate GOP Senator John Corona lost in this past Tuesday's primary to Don Huffins, who calls himself a libertarian businessman. This was a GOP primary, and a self-identified libertarian beat a sitting senator.
Huh. So, what's the old saying? The reports of my death are premature, or something like that. Do you remember that old saying?
That's right. Mark Twain said yes. That after reading his obituary.
Yeah, exactly.
And all right. Not only have the incumbents lost the Tea Party favored or Tea Party like candidates, many of them have to go through a runoff now in 2 months from now. They take the top 2 candidates and run them off against each other if no one gets 50% of the vote.
Okay. All right. You just mentioned Mark Twain's obituary. Let's talk about an obituary of a different kind. Turns out to be banking can be bad for your health.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you had me working on this story a week or two ago, and just the other day came out the story of Autumn Radke. She is a 28-year-old American CEO of a Bitcoin exchange firm called First Meta, based in Singapore. She was found dead in her apartment on February 28th. The local media are calling it a suicide, but Singapore officials are waiting for toxicology test results. This is now 8 high-profile financial people who have been found dead this year, and we're only in the middle of March.
Can you give us a rundown?
Sure. On February 18th, 33-year-old J.P. Morgan Finance Pro leaped to his death from the roof of the company's 30-story office tower in Hong Kong. His name was Lee Junji, and his suicide marked the 3rd J.P. Morgan banker who has died this year. Gabriel McGee, 39 years old, the vice president with Morgan, jumped to his death from the roof of the bank's 33-story tower in London. On February 3rd, Ryan Henry Crane, 37 years old, was found dead inside of his Stamford, Connecticut home. He's also a J.P. Morgan employee. And in a lot of cases, the cause of deaths in these cases are not going to be determined until toxicology reports are complete. I don't know how long it takes to complete them, but this fellow I just mentioned died on February 3rd. It's been 5 weeks already, and it's still being termed a suspicious death.
Gosh! Dennis, do I detect a pattern here?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. It's my understanding that most, if not all, of these bankers worked on currency trading desks of some sort or oversaw those operations. Can we confirm that?
Yeah, that's correct. And, of course, Bitcoin, you know, is being formed as an alternate currency.
Right.
So that must have posed itself a threat to someone who I'm going to go out on a limb and say she is going to found to have been... victim of murder.
If the authorities let that information out. The troubling thing about this is all of these people being currency traders, working or managing currency trading desks, they have inside knowledge about currency trading. Inside knowledge may not be the legally appropriate term, but let's just say they know things about currency that we don't.
They know how the machine works, and it could be that they were in danger, and they were their lives were put in danger because they might have been threatening to come out with details about those inner workings.
And that they're in a position to know things, and if they were to start saying things, it might cause, say, runs on the bank or who knows what. And perhaps some of these people, the thinking may, I'm just throwing this out there, the thinking is maybe that perhaps some of these people are being made examples of because this is happening all around the world. It's happening in Europe, the United States, Hong Kong, the major banking centers are where these people are showing up dead. And yes, there is a pattern, and it is troubling.
And if there is a global meltdown coming, it's not going to happen without people on the inside knowing about it a little bit ahead of time.
And if you know something like that's coming, you may be prone to want to commit suicide.
Yeah, that's the other side of it. You know, things are going to get that bad.
Yeah, and you're in a position and you can't do anything about it, but you can see it coming. I mean, there's a lot of questions that these eight deaths raise.
Indeed.
Indeed it is. All right, Dennis, thanks for the great work. Keep up the good work and stay on top of this because I got a feeling there's going to be more and probably sooner rather than later.
All right, talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Sounds great. Folks, you just heard B. Brian Blair a little while ago talking about the surgery on his knee, and afterwards, he's been spraying Roxy Pacific Pacifics on it, and it really does help heal. He had some surgery. We saw him here in the studio. The guy was on crutches, made it up and down the stairs, but boy, his leg was just swollen up, and he's really seeing relief from Roxy Pacifics. We have fellas, we have a sergeant major, 80 years old, and he had Agent Orange sores. He uses it. People from Sally from Atlanta, Georgia, had chemotherapy. She said it felt like 100 bee stings on her head. The Roxy Pacifics gives her relief. You've got to order some of this stuff. It's 619-654-4829. Every medicine cabinet is begging for it. So make sure you get some.
Get that stuff, folks. It really does work. It is amazing. And don't forget, please come out and join us Saturday for the Walk for Life for True Life Choice. Help them out. They help out girls who find themselves unexpectedly pregnant. Try to help them through the pregnancy rather than end it. There are going to be three locations. I'll be at Lake Eola downtown. Come on out and join us. That's Walk for Life. The walk starts at 9 o'clock. Going to be a beautiful day Saturday. And then hit the Apopka Fair and say hello to Terry Seafelt over there for us.
It's going to be a wild and wacky week. And it's also going to be a nice one, folks. Supposed to clear up. The American Adversaries will be back tomorrow night at 5 o'clock.
Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660.